precious and important. I don't know why God didn't come up with it first. I mean, he came up with so many other holidays. Golly. Is there something else that's on? Can you turn the other mics off, maybe? Okay. All right. There we go. So it's good because we're all here because of moms, contrary to modern science. I always think it's funny because I learned a couple years ago that I love to see how God works through just random things things that seem random, but they're not. They're dead on. And God knew exactly what he was doing. You know, I always talk about how Gabby was born, and then I always talk about how I met Mary and how that just was a miracle. But then I go all the way back to when Mom was born. I think it was Presbyterian. Her dad was a Presbyterian, and the minister wouldn't baptize her for some reason. And so her dad got mad and said, well, I'm going to go to the Lutheran church. I bet they'll do it. And because of that, she became a Lutheran. And because she became a Lutheran, she went to Augustana. And because she went to Augustana, she met my dad. All because of the randomness of that minister who wouldn't baptize her. So it's like, if that's not God, I don't know what it is. God has your whole life. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows what needs to happen for you to do what you need to do, and he already has it all lined out for you. Problem is, we're always trying to take our own path. My favorite scripture, I have lots of favorites, but one of my favorites is, we make our plans, but God guides our steps. And that happens in my life so often. I'm planning to do this, and God goes, well, I have a different plan. I was trying to finish some work on Wednesday, and my truck broke down. So, and I was angry because I didn't get to finish my work. I don't like to leave things undone. But God has other plans. So then I got to take my truck to Holly's new auto shop, and they fixed it. I got it back yesterday. And I got to make my wife happy by working in the yard and taking care of things around the house. So it was good. So she got a good Mother's Day. Because I couldn't have done it today because it's raining. So it's a good thing that I was able to do it the last few days. So God works things out. That's awesome. You know, I should have been working all those days. But what's even more interesting is I was already way ahead on all my jobs anyway, so it didn't matter. I wasn't supposed to be done for another week, so it didn't even matter. So you think, oh, man, I was going to get extra time. And God's like, I got something else for that time. I go, okay, God, I'm going to trust your plan more than mine. Because, you know, if I got extra time, I'm probably just going to waste it. So God's like, I'm much more efficient at using your time than you are. You're like, yeah, you are. So, my bride is not here. I don't know where she's at. I am so glad that Mary is my wife and that she is the mother of my daughter. And you guys know that how much of a miracle Gabby is. I mean, that wasn't supposed to happen. You guys know what I tell. When the doctor said, you guys have a 5% chance, and we were so excited, and he was just blown away. He's like, oh, I just said you had a 5% chance. And you're like, yeah, you said there's a chance. I mean, God can even work with a 0% chance, but I mean, we were giving him at least 5. So it's good. So life is precious, and moms are amazing. It's so funny. I don't know, from a young age, I realized that I liked my mom and I wanted her to be around. I didn't mind if she came on the field trips. I figured if I obeyed her, life would probably go easier. Somehow I figured out that they already had done a lot of dumb things, and if I listened to them, I probably wouldn't do so many. I still did my share of dumb things, but moms are, I can see in Mary, because like when Gabby gets hurt, I'm just like, get up. And Mary's like, oh, I'm so bad. Dads are not like that. Dads are like, yeah, you can just, you know, she'll hurt herself, and I go, oh, we need to go to the doctor and have him cut it off. And Gabby's like, no. And Mary's like, David, the Bible tells you not to harass your children. I was like, yeah, it does. But it's a dad's right to do that. But Mary is very compassionate. I mean, it's good. I mean, you could see definitely when God took that rib out of Adam and he made Eve, that he gave Eve different things than Adam had. And it's good. And that's why we need each other. That's why God created man and woman to be together, because we complement each other. And without a mom, kids probably would not survive very long. Because dads would be like, oh, I was supposed to feed the child? So, it's good. Today, I want to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You guys know what? That's a very popular passage. But it's everything that moms are. Everything that God created moms to be. So even though it's just talking about us personally, but it's definitely who moms are. So he starts off with, I may speak in tongues of men, so I may speak plainly, or I may speak in tongues of angels. You know, I may speak spiritually, or I may speak humanly. But if I lack love, I have become merely a blaring brass or clanging cymbal. It's good. So it's like, man, love is important. Mary exudes love over Gabby. It's whatever Gabby is having a problem with, she loves her. I mean, I do too, but it's a different way. I'm very hard on Gabby, and Mary is very compassionate towards her. I don't put up with her junk, which is good. You need both. It's like in my relationship with Mary, I'm very laid back, and Mary's very object oriented. You know, we need to get this done. And we're a good complement to each other, because I would do nothing and she would do everything. And together, I get her to slow down and she gets me to speed up. And so it's a good complement. And that's what God does. You know, he knows what he's doing when he puts people together. If you put two lazy people together, that wouldn't be good. Would not be good at all. So I may have the gift of prophecy. I may fathom all the mysteries and know all things and have all faith. Enough to move mountains, but if I lack love, I am nothing. You know, the Bible says, speak the truth in love. And that's true, because we can speak the truth to people, but if there's no love in it, man, that's just a rebuke. And it may be a rebuke anyways, but if you're doing it in love, I mean, that's what Jesus is to us. When Jesus rebukes us, it shouldn't ever hurt, because you know who it's coming from, and you know that he's got a reason for it, and it's always to bless you. It's never because he's not saying, oh, you're an idiot. He's like, hey, I've got a better way. I've already got something planned for you, and it'll be a blessing to you. You're like, oh, I'm going to listen to you. Because we often try to make our own way. You know, I remember somebody was talking about prayer. I've learned, you know, through my years, you need to pray for things first. Always. The first thing that shouldn't come out of your mouth is, who do I call? I need to ask God. What do I do? God should be the first person you talk to. And often enough, when you do, it saves a lot of heartache and trouble and time and pain, because he already has an answer. He already knew. He knew the problem you were going through, and he already has a solution for it. I mean, he did create the universe. We sometimes forget that. It's like, how can God, like, you know, God can raise Lazarus from the dead. God can heal tendons. God has done amazing things. And we don't expect him to do it. We don't know. Like it was funny. I've told you that before. But that time, I drove past the cemetery, and I thought, well, God could raise my dad from the dead right now, and that would be awesome. And then I thought, well, what if he wouldn't open the casket? What a stupid thought! What a stupid thought! That I could believe so much that he would raise my dad from the dead, but he wouldn't open the ground to let him out. I mean. I mean, that's the devil right there. That was a dumb thought. Yes, that's one of those ones you take captive. You know, the Bible says you take every thought captive, and you go, hey, does that align with the word? That does not align with the word. You're dead. Get rid of that thought. So this guy is saying, hey, man, I could be a prophet. I could be the most amazing prophet. I could have the wisdom of Solomon. I could fathom all the mysteries and know all the answers, but if there's no love in me, what's the point? Because what does the Bible say about who is God? God is love. And that's the problem with the world, is they don't understand that. I got in a discussion with somebody the other day, and they were like, yeah, but your God killed tens of thousands of people in the Bible, blah, blah, blah. How is that loving? And that's a hard one. That is a hard one. And you go, well, man's the one that brought sin into the world. Man is the one that did that. I said, we don't know what God can do. God, when Jesus came and he died on the cross, he went down to hell and he took the keys. We don't know what he did down there. He said, hey, you guys come with me or you guys stay in here. It's like, God is just. He is not going to be unjust. There's not going to be a single person that's going to die and go to hell that didn't want to go to hell. I'm going to stop. That's going down a weird path, sorry. I know what I mean in my head, so it's probably not coming out correct out there. So if someone knows God and loves God and trusts God and receives God, you know, there's before Jesus, because after Jesus, we just have to pray in the name of Jesus. But before that, there wasn't Jesus. So we have to understand who God is. And that's why, so I was telling this person, the Old Testament is a book about, it's a lot of books about the mercy of God and God's desire to redeem us. People don't see that in the Old Testament. They see all the bad things that happen, but it's like, no, it's an entire book of redemption. If God is interested in redemption, he's interested in redemption for everyone, but you get to choose it. Some people don't believe in free will, but I mean, we do have a free will. We have a free will to either choose God or not choose God. And somebody can say, well, that's awful. And you go, no, that's loving. You can't force someone to love you. God said, I'm going to give you the choice to love me or not love me. It's going to go better if you do. But anyway, sorry, I'm getting off topic. I may give away everything that I own. I may even hand over my body to be burned. But if I lack love, I gain nothing. So this guy will do anything. I'm at that point in my life. Are you guys at that point in your life where you'd give your body to be burned? Paul, I think it was last week or whatever I was preaching, and Paul said, if I could do anything, I think it's Romans 9, I would do anything if all you guys would be able to go to heaven. I'm at that point in my life, and that's not me. I'm selfish. There's no way. That's God in me going, man, I'd give my life so that you guys could all go to heaven. That's awesome, because that's not me at all. That's God in me. And so when you get to that point, you're like, thank you, Jesus. I'm finally dying to myself. You guys there? Not all there yet. It's good, because you guys better get ready, because this church is about to be full of people who need to hear that, and you need to be able to be not full of yourself. Sorry, that's not all Mother's Day stuff, but I keep having more and more dreams, and every dream is more and more vivid, and it's... Absolutely. They're all about people. It's like the world around is evil, and then there's people, and they're worshiping God, and it's not just fun worship with lights and smoke and stuff. It's like they're on fire, and they love God, and everything that's said that comes out of their mouth praises God and worships God and leads more people to God. It's not about numbers. Numbers aren't important. It's about somebody. Oh, I know. There was a guy here this week. He was helping me install the soap dispensers. I didn't really need help, but he wanted to do it. So aside from the women's bathroom, all the other bathrooms have new soap dispensers. The women's get the fancy soap. So everybody else has. Anyway, he said, well, "What's the purpose of your church?" And I said, "It's to disciple people, so that they understand who God is." Most churches aren't. They're not that. I don't know why. I mean, that was, what was Jesus doing? What was his first 12 people were disciples? It's like, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to disciple people. It's who they are in Christ. I'm going to throw some, moms are good at that. I was thinking about that today. Mom, what are moms? Moms, they are intercessors. Holy mackerel. The women in this church who are moms, man, they pray and things happen. It's incredible. I don't know how they do that. I mean, I do, I mean, I understand, because I know what it is to intercede, but I mean, it's like, it's, and it's every week they show up and they pray for the city and the people in this church and this building and for God's word to go forth. So the King James doesn't use the word love; it uses charity. And so I always like to go back to the Webster's 1828, because I don't trust the modern dictionaries for good reason. And the Webster's 1828 says that charity it's love. Well, I'll read it. Let's see. Okay, I have it pulled up. In a general sense, it's love or benevolence or goodwill, that disposition of heart which inclines men to think favorably of their fellow man, to think favorably of their fellow man and do good to them. In a theological sense, it includes the supreme love to God and the universal goodwill to men. So if you look it up in the New Dictionary, it just says people who give stuff to other people who are in need, which is a very, you know, it takes God completely out of it. So, because in the King James it uses the word charity. I'm using a complete Jewish Bible, which I love the King James. I'm not knocking. I'm just saying it uses the word charity instead of love. But charity and love originally meant the same thing. It's a type of love. That's what I love about the Greek language, is it's not, there's four different kinds of love. There's brotherly love, and there's love between a man and a wife, and then there's bad love, which a lot of the world is into because they're seeking God. You know, so you got to know what kind of love it is. And this is the kind that says agape. It's like, man, I've laid down my life for you. No greater gift than to lay your life down for a friend. And that's a mom. A mom would lay their life down for a child in an instant. I mean, a father would do the same thing for his family, but we're not talking about dads today. That's in a couple weeks. It's amazing what my wife will do for my daughter. It's amazing. I mean, I'm like, there's no way I would do that. I'm not going to put up with that. And she will be patient and it's awesome to see that. And God built that into her. If Job were a woman, the patience of Job, as the saying goes. Not the Job being a woman part, just the patience part. So, I mean, what's the first part? What's the first verse? Love is patient. Man, I like the word long suffering. To me, patience can almost be like, I'm just going to hang around here. You know, I'm being patient with you, but you know, you're annoying me. Long suffering to me is like, man, I love you so much that I'll put up with whatever so we get through with whatever this is we're going to go through. So that you see, I love you. So love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous or boastful. That's important. You can't, if you're jealous of somebody, you can't love them. There's no way. Because that means that you're still loving you. But if there's no jealousy in you, that means you can love people because you're not trying to get, because I mean, the Bible tells us that our cup overfloweth. And if we know that our Father has the cattle on 1,000 hills, we're not worried about us. We can see past us and see the other people and their needs. It's not boastful and not proud. It's not rude or selfish. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It's good, man. It's good. That is awesome. No record of wrongs. It doesn't get it's slow to anger. Slow to anger, that's a good one. God has definitely given me that gift. My wife knows if I'm angry, something's wrong. I do not get angry very easily. I put up with a lot. That's love. That's what love is. That's God in me. Um, Love does not gloat over other people's sins, but takes delight in the truth. That's something that God has taught me over the years, is to see past other people's sins. I don't, you know, you see them and you go, oh man, I don't do that. I always say, when someone sins and I see it, I go, there but by the grace of God go I. If I didn't have God in me, I'd be doing the same thing or something worse or something different. But I have God in me. You've God in you. And that's what sets us apart. We're not better. We're not more holy. We are holy because Jesus is in us. But it's like we're still human and we still can do just the same thing, but we have God in us. And that's the difference. I always tell people, if I'm going to go through this world, I'd rather have God in me than go through it by myself, because the same things are going to happen to me whether I've got God with me or not. And I'd rather have God with me, because he's God. You know, if you wouldn't want to have the guy that, if you're at somewhere and you could have the guy that made everything, that's the guy to have with you. I'm reading The Wizard of Oz right now, or the series, and it's the way the guy wrote the books, there's many of them, there's like seven or eight. Whoever's with the person, whoever's the key story member, they always have somebody with them that's able to do something, and that's God. God always does that. He prepares something so that, like, the guy has an axe, or the other guy's a scarecrow, and he's able to scare the birds away, or whatever. You know, it's like God always prepares that stuff for us. He puts people in our lives that are going to build us up, that are going to say the right word. You know, they're spending time with God, and so that when you're needing something, and they come up and they say this word, and you're like, wow, thank you, God, for using that person to give me that word, because I needed it right at that moment. Because we're all unique, and we all have a gift, and we don't all have everything. And so some of us have dreams, and some of us have visions, and some of us get words, and some of us are prophets and teachers and pastors, and we need each other. Because the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. And so you can't be an island by yourself, just you and God. I promise you, if you do that, you're going to end up being a weirdo. People that spend too much time by themselves, they come up with some weird theology that they made up in their head. That's why you have to be with the body. Keep yourself in check. Like, I'm telling you right now, if I ever say anything dumb, feel free. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Say, Dave, that was dumb. You need to go back to God. Look that one up. And I'll go, thank you, Jesus, for being brave enough to tell me. I'm not perfect. You guys know that. So, love always bears up, always trusts, always hopes, always endures. It's good. I think a flaw of mine is I just expect people to be in the same place I'm at. I'm like, I want to bless people, and I just assume other people are there too, and they're not. I'm always surprised. Oh, you don't want to bless people too? But because that's where I am. Like, I learned that in politics. I just assume, hey, we're all on the same side and we all want the same thing. You know, God is the head, and we want God to be in charge of the country and the state, and we want everything. And you find out, oh, you guys aren't even the opposition. You guys are on my side, and you guys don't think this way. It's like, how is that possible? How naive am I to believe that? But that's okay. I love them. I'm just going to assume that you're always telling me the truth. And if you're not, then God's got to cover it. I'm not going to, I don't have time to figure out whether you're lying to me or not. I've got more important things to do. God's got stuff for me to do. He's got stuff for you guys to do. Love never ends. The prophecies will pass. So that's it. Love is eternal. You know, people, the world has taken that, you know, love is love and all that garbage. Because they don't understand. The world really does not understand who God is. They see him, like I was talking about earlier, God has many parts to him. There is a part who is a judge, and it will be scary. I mean, like every time an angel shows up in the Bible, just an angel, every time an angel shows up, they're always, don't be afraid. I mean, I always wonder what would happen if I saw an angel, if I'd be afraid or not. I probably would. But God has many parts. You know, God is a loving Father. God is, you know, he's compassionate. just like a good parent, he doesn't put up with our junk, but he's long-suffering. For our knowledge is partial. I think this is not even the most popular part of this passage, but I think it's awesome. Love never ends, but prophecies will pass. So the Bible prophesies stuff and it happens, but love never ends. Tongues will cease. That means people are going to pass away, but love is still enduring. Knowledge will pass. I think of my dad sometimes, and I think, man, all the knowledge he had in his head and all the knowledge that men have forgotten over the years. I mean, people are talking about stuff. They're like, how do these people do this? You know, they still argue how they created the pyramids. That stuff's lost. We don't know. It's all past. But you know what? Love is still here. We don't know how they made the pyramids. It was not aliens. Love is still here. For our knowledge is partial and our prophecy is partial. Like we said, we only understand a little bit. We get what God gives us to understand. We don't need to understand everything. First of all, it would destroy our brains if we knew everything. We can't handle it. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass. So it's good. In the end, Jesus is going to come back. Second coming, he's coming back. Man, I can't wait till the Jews get that. I can't wait till they realize that Jesus is their Messiah. And they can stop fighting. I mean, like, emotionally. I don't mean physically. I mean, I know they fight physically, but, you know, there's always waging war emotionally in their hearts. Oh, when God comes back, it's like, man, he's already been here. It's going to be awesome. And we get to make him jealous. You guys ready to do that? You guys prepared to make him jealous? Someone who hates you? Oh, you Christians, you're so happy all the time. You don't know God, and you gotta love them just the way they are. I've had several customers who were Jewish, and man, like not Christian Jewish, but like Jewish, and they're like, you know, there's only an Old Testament, and you don't know, and they get into it, and you're like, when I was in Israel, there was a Jewish fellow, and Jacob Patty had brought his guitar and we were worshiping. And this guy came up and just started yelling at us. And he's like, you know, you guys are evil. You're coming here and you're trying to steal our God and sway our people's minds. And it's like, wow, no. No. We love you guys. Say whatever you want to us. We love you. We love you. We don't even care because God loves you and we love you. You're his chosen people. We've been grafted in. You know, we got the deal too, just like Jacob. Jacob wasn't supposed to get it. It was Esau. Esau was the firstborn. You know, just like David. David was the last out of all those brothers. Little guy who was the shepherd, had the no-name job. He's the guy that got it. Why? God. God always picks the guy that's not supposed to get it. You know, aren't you guys excited about that? God picks the guy that's not supposed to get it. You know, Saul looked like a king. He was tall and handsome, had a commanding voice. But God chose David, a little guy, you know. But you can be powerful because, you know, God is in us. David knew, hey, God kept me safe from the bear and the lion. Those trials are there to show us who we are and show us that God is there. You know, I was thinking, because I get in a lot of discussions online, and people are always wanting proof. It's like, I don't need proof. I've thought about this. I don't need proof. I just have to speak the truth. I don't have to prove to you. Because people say, well, prove your God exists, or prove that this didn't happen, or prove that. And like, I don't have to. I'm just telling you right now, God loves you. I don't have to prove it, because it's true. And that's just it. We don't know that because we think in a physical world, but there's a spiritual world. And if you speak the truth, remember, God created the entire world with words. He just spoke it into existence. And you tell somebody, Jesus loves you, that's not physical. You can't prove that physically. That's a spiritual thing that you're saying to them. He died for you. He rose again for you. We have to stop thinking in a physical sense and start thinking in a spiritual sense. And then you get that when you spend time with God. You see him do weird things like heal hands and raise people from the dead. That's not normal. when you get hurt, you're supposed to be hurt for forever, you know. But God doesn't. God's like, no, I'm God. I can do whatever I want. I always think of this verse when I play video games. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. And I thought like a child and I argued like a child. Now that I have become a man, I have finished these childish ways. It's good. I like that word, argue. Gabby's always trying to argue with us. And she'll do it in a kind of a whiny voice. And I'm like, hey, if you're going to talk to me, you talk to me like a person. I don't want to hear you whining. Because I'm not going to answer you if you're whining at me. You have to talk to me like, just use your normal voice. Dad, can I have thus and so? Yeah. So wasn't that a lot easier than? It's like the kids are manipulative. You don't think they are. You think they're innocent. They're not. They're devious. It's amazing. We are too. But that's why you got to train them up in the way that they should go. That's why moms are so important. They train up the kids in the way that they and how they should act and behave. And man, because dads are out working, and moms are home taking care of the kids. I'm not saying that moms can't work. Proverbs 31, the wife worked. Come on, guys. I'm just saying it's good. So it's you know, fathers. Jesus is the head of the father, and the father is over the wife, and that just means the father is protecting the wife, and then the wife is over the kids. It's a good order. It's not importance. It's just an order of things that work. And man, that the husband protects the wife so the wife can do what she needs to do. It's like that's why God protects men, so that men can do what they need to do. For now we see obscurely in a mirror, but then it will be face to face. I mean, it's going to be amazing when we see God face to face. It says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Man, when we see our Creator one day. For now I know partly, but then I will know fully, for just as God has fully known me. So remember, God created us from the beginning of time. He knew. He knew every hair on your head, every freckle on your face. He knew every dumb thing you're going to do. He knew everything. He has known fully. But for now, three things last. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So pursue love. It's good. What's incredible to me about moms is how they do it unselfishly. I guess because I'm a selfish person. Jesus in me is not selfish, but I'll work hard and things, but you know, I want my downtime. And Mary's like, how much downtime do you need? Because she never stops. I mean, from the moment she wakes up till the time she goes to bed, she's doing something. Taking care of Gabby, cleaning the house. It's impressive. I'm like, I don't know how you do it. I need a break. And if I don't get a break, I'm going to fall apart. So I don't know how she does it. That's a gift that God gave her. And she doesn't complain about it. Man, that's awesome. She is who God made her to be. All you moms are exactly who God made you to be. And if you think, oh, I could have done better, God already knew. God already had his hand on you. I mean, first of all, you're here today. Second of all, your kids are here today. So, congratulations on graduating, by the way. That's awesome. That's an accomplishment. And valedictorian. Wow. I was fourth in my class out of four. There were 16 in our class when I started, but they all flunked out. So that's not too bad, being fourth. So it's good. Love your moms today. If your mom is not here anymore, thank God for the mom that brought you into this world. But man, they're precious. They may have messed up, but they didn't because you're here. And that's it. The one thing that mom does is she brings you to life so that you can meet Jesus. And without a mom, you could never meet Jesus. So it's good. So love your mom. Thank God for your mom. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the life that you've breathed into us. Thank you for the moms that you've given us. Thank you that your way is perfect and that's not like ours. We would have done it differently, but you did it perfectly. You knew exactly what we needed in this life and you prepared it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Monty, can you give us a benediction?